This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah, we are halfway home on a, what day is it? Wednesday. I am all out of sorts. But it is Wednesday. We have a playoff game here in San Diego again tonight. The weather looks spectacular, as usual. What a perfect place to live. What a perfect team to cover. What a perfect group of guys I get to work with every day. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindel, the EP executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is going to be working it tonight out in front. So whatever you do, do not walk behind his live shots and do anything or say anything.
He hates
it. He loves
it. Yeah, I got off light yesterday because we were airing the vice presidential debate.
Yes.
So I was able to go in and enjoy the game for a few innings before I had to get back to work. But tonight, you know, we got the regular schedule, so I'll be actually on the air during a lot of the game, watching from just outside the ballpark on a TV or my phone or whatever we've got set up. But if you're walking in downtown in the gas lamp, say hi.
As long as you're not on the air.
As long as I'm not on the air.
Now, correct. If you see me, will you put me on?
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I got a request this morning. I already got a text from our morning reporter, Sierra, who said, what sports bar are you guys at? You know, I want to come do a live shot. I go, we're in studio today. Should have come yesterday when we were down at Baja Rick's Cantina in the gas lamp.
Yeah, it was just 24
hours. Actually, we did have a camera there yesterday.
24 hours ago, right now, Ben was cracking into his first crab leg of the day. It was delicious. And, yeah, so if you see Ben tonight, yeah, I mean, be respectful, you know. Right? You don't want anything.
Don't give me like a hug on the air. I will hug you if you want.
If you wait.
Off the air, if you wait.
Just wait.
Patiently.
Yeah.
You know, form an orderly line for hugs. And when I'm done with my live hits, and it's TV, so it's short.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be on for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Give us a preview.
I'll have 10, 15 minutes.
What it may sound like tonight. So, all right. So I'm back in studio. And we go live now out to Petco Park, joined by sports director Ben Higgins.
I'll be with Wale, so we'll be anchoring out there. Yeah, the excitement is off the hook down here in the gas lamp as we are getting ready for game two of the National League Wild Card Series. Joe Musgrove on the mound looking to clinch in two games and propel the Padres into the National League Division Series against the L.A. Dodgers. We're seeing fans walking into the ballpark right now behind me. The buzz is palpable here downtown, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be the anchor, Paulie. We'll be the anchors back in studio. Now we need to come up with some pithy banter. looks like quite a scene down there, Ben. Keep up the good work.
Yes, yesterday Wale was down there, and he did a story earlier in the day. There's one of those axe throwing places right next to Petco Park.
Yeah.
Talking about the uptick in business during the playoffs, but he actually went in and like did axe throwing against the woman who runs the place.
Oh, I love it.
And then he said, "I'm gonna toss it back to you in the studio." Yeah.
You guys.
The sharp report from Wale.
You guys.
At the axe throwing place.
You news people are such cut ups, man, every time. Grouch Nasty is in the chat, and he says, shout out from the city of National City, Sewer Crew. Now, that guy is working today. I'm going to big shout out for you, Grouch Nasty. If I had tickets for you, I'd give them to you.
We had a sewer backup at the TV station yesterday.
You
parking
did.
Lot, yeah. Apparently, some people were flushing things they shouldn't have flushed.
Like
the sewer
what?
Line got clogged.
Oh, probably Paulie's dude wipes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They said wipes. Don't flush those down the toilet. And it backed up the sewer line and started like bubbling up in the parking lot.
Wale's in the chat. He said that was my best toss of all time.
Yeah, I was giving him credit for it.
Well, any shots I take at local news are not for you. They're meant for him.
And him alone.
And him alone, let's be honest. Honestly. His pithy bit. When he heard that from Wale, there was a part of him that went, damn it.
Totally
that
jealous.
That was really
oh,
good.
Totally
that was
jealous.
Really good. That's great.
Well, dang it.
Wale, thanks for getting up. I will see you later today somewhere downtown.
It's going to be a fun one tonight. I was thinking about it, too. We had some fun yesterday, and we raised some money by having some fun, Benny, for the King of the Hill Foundation. You know, I said, I'll donate $5. Michael King is on the bump last night, so I thought, well, what better way to fill the Karma Cup in the spirit of our late, great owner, Peter Seidler, who would donate more than $300, but that's all we could do yesterday. But you do what you can. What can we do today?
Everything helps.
Yeah, of course. What can we do today to fill the Karma Cup? Does Joe Musgrove have a foundation that we can do something for?
I was thinking about that actually earlier. I don't know that he has
an official
foundation.
That's funny. He does a ton, but I don't know if he has an official foundation.
He's got his training center for youth. I'm sure they could use some help.
What do we do? I want to continue to fill the Karma Cup every game.
Manny's got his new foundation.
Paulie's going to look into it and see what we can do today. The thing that was cool, though, is I saw our buddy Doug Downing.
You
last
don't
night.
Have to spend $500 every day for Karma Woods.
And
I mean,
it
I appreciate
work.
Your
yeah,
commitment,
you.
But you're going to go bankrupt if you spend like $500 a day on good karma.
I've been embezzling from Odyssey for years. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I've got so much put away in illegal offshore accounts.
I know you're not embezzling. It's people who embezzle know how to use Excel. And you don't know how to use Excel.
I do it all up here, buddy. I do it all up here. You should see. I'll grab stuff here, sell it in the black market. I mean, I am really crushing the embezzling scene here. So don't worry about me. I got money to burn.
All those Kason t-shirts that you've been selling all over the place. Hot commodity.
Toby Keith shirts from back in the day. Rest in peace. There's all kinds of stuff in here. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. But it doesn't have to be money. But our pal Doug Downing yesterday took it upon himself, Ben, and said he was going to donate $5 for every Michael King strikeout.
$60.
And another, you know, other people saw it and they start spreading the word. And that's the power of this platform, which I've always loved the most. So whatever you can do today as a Padre fan to make somebody's day better, I encourage you to do so. My 6-year-old son made my night infinitely better last night. I know you saw this.
I did.
This tweet.
I did.
So we were laying there watching the game. It was about the 8th inning, and I'm chewing my nails. I'm nervous. He is as cool as a cucumber. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says to me, "Hey, Dad." "Yeah?" He said, "If you have three penises, it's called a threeness." Out of the blue. And I said, "A threeness."
Been working that out for a little while, you think?
And I go,
"A threeness."
I didn't question. I just said, "Okay, all right." And I just moved on because I was watching the game. But he was like laying in my arms when he said it. "If you have three penises,
you might want to see a doctor.
It's called a threeness." And I thought, you may be the most brilliant, brilliant of all of us, my friend. Somebody quote tweeted and said, "You know, this generation's going to be voting in about 10 years. I said, "He's not going to be voting. They're going to be voting for him." With thoughts and ideas like that, going to make the world a better place. But he laid me out last night watching that game. Just random, out of the blue. Just completely, like he was thinking about it for a while.
Bo?
Threeness.
How would that work?
I don't know. I don't even think he knows. But oh my God,
Are they all in the same general groinal area? Or are they in the different
random
spots
places,
like, around the body?
Replace your hands? Maybe? It certainly got it opened my mind a little bit last night. But
I mean, you know, the imagination of children,
it's unbelievable,
is unfettered by, you know, society. As you get older, you don't really break out of your normal box and think that.
Like that's one I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. I will never remember the one when he saw the dime on the ground and he goes, "Oh, Dad, look." And I go, "What is that?" And he goes, he said, "It's a it's a quarter. I said, no, it's a dime. And he goes, oh, some kind of nickel. And I was like, what are you talking about, dude? It laid me out. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. Now, anytime I have a coin in my hand, I go, oh, some kind of nickel. It's just the greatest part of being
a parent. You got the small brown nickels, the tiny silver nickels.
The very thin nickels.
Yeah, the bigger. Those
bigger nickels that are worth 25 cents.
Five times the normal nickels.
It's some kind of nickel. It just laid me out, dude. So, oh, my Lord. So I can't wait to see. Well, I won't be there tonight, more than likely, but hopefully Hannah could maybe record some of his musings during the game.
Question for you, because I thought it was a really nice moment, but I know you sometimes have some issues with that style of music. A Blink 182 last night. Tom DeLonge, first pitch, and then the return of All the Small Things with the entire Petco Park Stadium singing
fit.
And using it. Isn't it great?
It's a great
fit. I think it's great. And I'm glad to see it back after kind of it organically popped up in the rain last year against the Dodgers. It's the playoff thing for the Padres.
Yeah, I like it. Keep it. Roll it.
Every game?
Every game.
Every game.
Yeah, make it the thing. We're looking for our thing, and Tom's a San Diegan. He's a big Padres fan, and you know I'm just bitter because we didn't get him on the air that time that they promised that he was going to come on.
You just have that voice you do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know.
No, I don't know. Is that it?
The voice that you
I
do.
Know. No, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome.
Thought so.
It's a great fit.
I saw the video we posted, 97.3, got major circulation on social media, so like everyone was
it's
seeing
it. It's been back,
that.
People are saying. I never see the end of the games, Raul. I mean, not at Petco Park.
Not so. With an atmosphere like that.
No.
Let's say that was a big one last night.
I love it.
Part of the tradition now of Petco Park, and I'm all for it. And
I thought MLB on Fox retweeted.
Yeah. Oh, Adam is.
Oh, you. How
I haven't even heard from him today.
How
he's so excited. He's drunk with excitement.
That he got
right
MLB
now.
On Fox to retweet the 97.3 The Fan account.
Very excited.
He's elated. Tony says Blink 182 is annoying. I want more love for Iron Butterfly. I could get behind some Iron Butterfly as well. San Diego band, yes.
Yeah,
I
right.
Believe. I would like to
it's
hear...
It's Inagata DeVita, right?
I would like to hear more rant with Kyle Higashioka.
I know what you want to
Going
hear.
Yard last night, local band, rant. There's a lot of great local bands, but yeah, I thought that was cool. I think that should be the thing, and just keep rolling with it, because it's working.
All right, usually we wait until the end.
Throughout the first pitch yesterday, Tom did.
Yeah.
And it was... It was set up as special guest. A little high, but didn't bounce it.
It was a lob, but it was definitely easily catchable.
They said a special guest throughout the first pitch for all three games.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think. Okay, you checked that one off yesterday.
He's done it before.
Right. I was wondering, is it going to be somebody for the first time? Like, Alex Morgan's done it before. She was in the house yesterday.
She was in the house.
Did they just roll Randy Jones out there again?
That'd be great. Hoffy. Got to have Hoffy coming in for one.
That's
right?
Always fun.
Dancilio?
Maybe.
He's done it.
I was trying to remember who caught it. It was Brett Sullivan who caught the first pitch, I think.
No, I think it was Brandon Lockridge.
Oh, was it Brandon Lockridge?
Brett Sullivan
I thought it was
not
29.
On the team, is he?
Well, no, he's not. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are with the team, though, who aren't currently on the roster. So it was Lockridge. Oh, 28. That's right. It wasn't 29. It was 28 that caught the first
it also
pitch.
Also said Lockridge.
I couldn't hear anything or see anything from where I was sitting, actually. So it's not the greatest seat, actually, in the press box sometimes.
Alex says Jake Peavy. That was one of my guesses.
Oh, Peavy would be
that
great.
Would be an. I mean, because you they
mud and Don.
As far as I know, like Tom was fairly, you know, hiding down below in the depths of Petco Park, and they bring him out for the first pitch. Jake Peavy comes out to throw out a first pitch. It's going to be insane.
Will Myers would be an interesting.
Sean Sheil Seidler would be.
So
really,
yes, of course,
you got to save it, man.
But you have to.
You gotta save
it. It's a tough position to be in. You want to blow it out every game. You want the biggest thing possible, but you also want to save the biggest one.
It's kind of like your starting pitcher
for
like
bigger games. Hope to have.
I mean, it's like you're great. Like you saved Dylan Cease for Game 3, should you need one, or a Game 1 potentially against the Dodgers, and that's a risk. You know, you don't want to get through the postseason by not having Sheil throw a first pitch, right? Like that's number one, I would say.
Tony Jr.'s always
Tony
a great
Jr.
choice.
Tony Jr. would be incredible.
Always a great choice.
You can't just say, oh, you know, Sheil would be great, but we want that to be Game 3 of the World Series.
Yeah, you're putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like it.
Jada the J-O. Do I get a second chance,
who?
Perhaps, at my first pitch that I bounced?
No.
All right. Usually we wait until later in the show. I want to look ahead a little bit early at tonight's game. Obviously, it's a potential clincher at Petco Park. You don't get to say that every single day. And Padres going up against a former first-round draft pick of the San Diego Padres. We'll look ahead. Look at all the matchups if you want. We got four more wild card games today, and then Brett Boone is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, if you were listening earlier in Do Do This, we played audio of one Ryan Cohen calling his shot right before Fernando Tatis Jr.'s home run. So, a little tweet 11 minutes ago from Ryan Cohen. I need a Jackson Merrill playoff homer in front of a sold-out Petco Park so bad. Well, hopefully
this is Jackson Merrill
willing things into existence, but Jackson Merrill did get his first career playoff hit yesterday. The youngest Padre in franchise history to collect a postseason single in the first inning. Did not score, but I'm sporting my Merrill Madness shirt today because I kind of feel the same Jackson energy today that Ryan Cohen is feeling for some reason.
Off of Fried.
I don't know. Fried's not going to be in for the whole game. I mean, with the Padres, so looking ahead tonight, Max Fried on the mound, former Padres first-round seventh overall selection in 2012 of the San Diego Padres, was dealt as part of the Will Myers trade, right? That they dealt. No, that was Trey Turner. Who did they acquire for Max Fried? Long time ago.
It was a while ago.
It was a while ago.
Wasn't that?
Yeah. Who was? Who did the Padres get for Max Fried?
Whoever it wasn't enough.
Was that Justin Upton?
Maybe.
Long time ago. But
Upton and Aaron Northcraft.
That's right. It was the Justin Upton trade. So Padres did face him in the regular season. 9 hits, 3 runs in 4 1/3 innings. But he can be very nasty. His last start, Woods, against the Kansas City Royals over the weekend, I think was Friday, and he was terrific. I mean, absolutely lights out good. So you're facing a much more seasoned competitor, guy who's been in the playoffs before, knows what it feels like in October. This is no A.J. Smith-Shawver tonight. Then again, the Padres, you know, didn't give up any runs yesterday. So you don't need to necessarily, if you pitch like you did yesterday, you don't need to score a ton. They can get runs off of Max Fried.
Yeah.
Question is, can Joe pitch the same way or similar to the way that Michael King pitched yesterday? And then you'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, the billion-dollar question, certainly. But I thought, you know, Michael King set the tone last night, getting out of an early jam, and from then he just really cruised. And I think Joe Musgrove feeds off the crowd. You know, the crowd's going to be electric, elite again tonight. I'm buzzing right now, man. I am absolutely buzzing thinking about being in the house tonight. So, and you know, listen, off of Fried, I need to pull the numbers of who's done what, but, you know, we have plenty of right-handed guys with a lot of pop in our lineup. So not to, not overly concerned. He's a good pitcher, but this is, we're playing at home and let's take care of business, man.
Padres struggled against lefties. Oh, the overall early numbers aren't good, but yeah, it's mostly from the first half of the year. You know, once they added Donovan Solano and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Xander Bogaerts came back from their long injuries, and Manny heated up, the numbers were much better against lefties on the second half of the season. They were never able to totally recover. But you think about it. All right, before those four guys were really playing or locked in, you're going to struggle against lefties because most of the guys who were producing early in the season, like Profar and Merrill and Cronenworth, were all left-handed. And, you know, well, Profar is a switch hitter, but was, you know, they definitely were vulnerable against lefties. I don't think that's as much the case now, and they've got guys who can step up against the lefties.
Here's some averages and numbers against Max Fried for the fellas tonight. Nick Ahmed just owns Max Fried, 2-for-5, Ben, batting at a .400 clip.
You got to start him.
Expecting him in the starting lineup tonight.
Luis Arraez hitting .500. Xander Bogaerts hitting .250. Crony, .250. Elias Diaz, .273. Manny Machado, a robust .063.
I don't think you take Higgy out, though.
No, you don't. .063.
Against Max Fried.
With what, with his one hit is a bomb. Jackson Merrill, 2-for-2.
There you go.
David
Peralta.
Yeah,
they hit him around back in May.
Yep. Profar, .375. Solano, .125. Tatis Jr., .400. So some of these guys see him pretty well. Limited. Manny's got the most at bats against him with 16. The rest fall around 12, is the second most with Crony. But yeah, I mean, guys have seen him pretty well.
As for Joe, we really have seen close to the best version of Joe Musgrove since he's returned from the injured list. In fact, if you throw out that one weird inning when he gave up, what was it, 6 runs? Mm-hmm. In that one inning against the Giants, and who knows if it was tipping or what was going on. Other than that inning, and again, you can't take it out for statistical purposes, it's a 1.09 ERA.
Crazy.
Since he's come off the injured list outside of that one inning. Do I expect an inning like that against the Braves? I do not. From Joe Musgrove in a playoff game, I expect it's going to be very difficult to push across a run or two. Braves probably will work extremely hard to try to just get on the board and break the seal of the series, you know, and I think that's going to, the longer they go, the harder it's going to get. As we said yesterday, if the Padres can get a lead, and Michael King said, yeah, pitching with a lead early was huge.
Massive.
Puts the pressure on the other team. Joe can do what Michael King did and, you know, get through that top of the first, and the Padres can find a way in the first inning or two to get ahead, knowing the Braves will have their season on the line. Just going to be squeezing those bats into sawdust at some point. You know how that feeling is when you know you have to score or it's all over. That's not really a recipe generally for offensive success.
You've got the corresponding numbers, Joe Musgrove against the Braves. And I know that Joe is such a student of the game. I know he watched how Michael King handled Ozzie Albies last night. Ozzie Albies unable to hit left-handed right now, so he's hitting only right-handed. And Michael King was in his dome. I mean, just had him torn up. And Albies doesn't see Joe that well anyway, even when he was switch hitting .154 average. Arcia hits him really well, .429. No homers given up against any of these guys on the roster right now. Darno, .167. Laureano, nothing. Merrifield, .286. Olson, .333. Ozuna, .353, but no bombs. Soler, .200. And Eli White, .0. So, yeah, we'll see what lineup Snit runs out there tonight. I would imagine that you could see some of the left-handers in there, like Jared Kelenic, guys like that, trying to get some knocks. But he's got it all in front of him, man. This is a really, really great opportunity to just take care of business, man. No messing around. No messing around. Go win it tonight.
We'll get to the other matchups today a little bit later, but I want to get to our bottom of the hour because we got Brett Boone continuing our Big League Wednesday Odyssey MLB insider and host of the Brett Boone podcast joining us to talk playoff baseball. We will do that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Now, we're all feeling pretty good this morning. 1-0 is a good spot to be, but in a three-game series, anything can happen. Game 2 is tonight at 5:38 p.m. at Petco Park. EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 4:38. I keep it here all day long. Obviously, we'll be talking Padres baseball, including with our next guest standing by. Brett Boone will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And that music means that we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett, host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. And I realized I didn't read that last week because he wasn't calling in.
Oh, he was here.
He was sitting here in studio, but we got Brett Boone on the phone right now. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning.
How are you, bud?
Yeah, I noticed that last week, Ben.
Sorry, I apologize to Granger and you.
We'll call your people. You got it.
Yeah, he's going to get his hand slapped for that one.
You guys watched the game last night?
We watched the game.
You caught an inning or two.
We were texting in the game last night, and I had this. One of my buddies texted me this morning, and I saw this on Twitter last night, and so I went and looked up your numbers against a certain pitcher that Michael King reminded a few people of last night. Any guesses as to who that would be?
Are they going to go with from my generation?
From your generation, yeah.
Man, Michael King, maybe a Kevin Brown?
No, that's a great guess though. But Roy Halladay was the Roy Halladay.
I had minimal at bats against Roy, but I'll tell you, it probably wasn't good. He was one of the first guys that had his ball going both ways.
Yeah.
And I used to tell Roy, I said, Roy, you got that two seamer going in on me, you got that little cutter going away, and I can't differentiate, so I just got to guess.
You hit 200.
So I wouldn't say they're good.
200. 200. That's not bad. I mean, that's Roy Halladay.
One for five.
You were 3 for 15.
Oh, more at bats than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, that brings up a question, because you just said, like, one of the first guys who had the ball going both ways. I remember I pitched a little bit in youth baseball growing up, and you had your fastball, river slider, you had your changeup. Two seam, four seam, cutters. I mean, these things weren't really in the lingo, at least, when I was learning baseball.
Two-seam and four-seam were, but they just didn't do what they
did. But they didn't do what they do now. I mean, how much has that changed, Brett, do you think, over the years?
Well, I think Roy was one of the guys, one of the pioneers as far as the cutter. Okay, the cutter, for lefties, it was normal. Al Leiter made it. He probably had the best one, but the lefty cutter was a big pitch in my day. Then they started cutting it. The righty started cutting it. I remember being in a hitter's meeting late in Edgar's career, and he just looked at me with that look, and he said, Boone, the cutter is going to make me retire. That's when it was first coming on the scene. And Halladay he perfected it, because the goal of every pitcher is to give the illusion that everything coming out of his hand is a fastball. Okay, that's why you see swing and miss. That's why you'll have people say, how could he swing at that pitch 2 feet off the plate? Well, not because he wanted to swing at it, because out of the hand, and you have so little time to react, your brain told you that's a fastball. And when you start the swing, usually you can't stop it. Roy was the first one. I mean, he had the illusion. It came out of his hand, and every pitch looked the same. Now, the slider looked different. The curveball looked different. That's a different pitch. But the true cutter and the true two-seamer, if you can get that coming out of the same tunnel, they call it, and moving both ways, man, as a hitter, you pick one and get on it. Yeah, hopefully this is a sinker. Hopefully this is a cutter, because you're not going to hit both. So that's the difference between then and now. Is now it seems like every right-hander has that cutter. Right-handers now throw changeups to right-handers. That was taboo kind of in my generation. You had the Trevor Hoffmans of the world that had that unbelievable changeup. But aside from him, there were very few righties that would go righty on righty changeup. And for a hitter, we used to sit in the hitters' meetings going, isn't this great that for some reason these pitchers don't want to throw righty on righty changeups? Why wouldn't you? And it was the same for the lefties. The lefties would always go with the breaking ball to the left-handers, but they would stay away from the changeup. And then to us, they wouldn't throw the sliders. They'd throw the changeup. And I thought, why does that make any sense? But better for me at the time, because that's one less pitch I had to worry about.
You know, and the sweeper is the hot pitch from a couple of years ago, and it's different. It is different than a slider. It absolutely is.
Well, it's a slur. It's a slur.
A slurve, yeah.
They just got cute with it, and they call it a sweeper, which I don't really like, but, it is what it is. I got to move. My kids tell me I got to jump into 2024, so I'll go with you. All right, it's a sweeper. It's a great invention. Wow, we've never seen one of those.
Yeah, it's slurve, right. Same
it's
type.
Slurve, all right.
Same type of thing.
Softened it up like somebody invented it.
What was the – a couple of my buddies that played in the minors, I asked them, like, all right, what was – everybody can time up a fastball. They just can. They can time up a fastball, and if you get lucky enough to get a fastball, don't miss it. And sometimes you're going to get a changeup that leaks, and you can hammer that one. Hanging slider is always great, but they said a guy with a nasty slider, it just – you're done. Like, and so in that same vein, the slider, the sweeper, you saw Michael King last night throwing that thing, started
that
down the
–
it was nasty, dude. Started out – and Darnell, I feel terrible for him. It's the – one of the worst swings I've ever seen in my life, but he was guessing something else, and boy, you look bad when you do something like that.
Well, when you get to an elite pitcher, that number one, the number ones. When they have two-plus pitches, and some guys have three, some of the number ones in today's game, you got to get on one. And for me, you either get on velocity or you get on spin. So I'm either going to – if I'm facing Pedro Martinez or Randy Johnson in his heyday, I'm getting on one because I'm not going to hit both. Now, if he throws me a 2-0 slider, it doesn't mean I'm going to swing and miss it, but I'm not going to hurt him with it, if that makes sense. I can touch it, but I'm talking about do damage.
Yeah.
So the Pedros of the world, the guys today, the number one's King last night. I'm getting on one or the other. So I'm either getting on that slider, and if he throws it, don't miss it, or I'm getting on that heater. But I'm not going to do damage on both pitches, if that makes sense.
It does.
That's what you've got to do. You got to pick your poison in that situation. Now, that's righty on righty. If there's a lefty in the box, you've got a little leeway to kind of hang out over the plate because everything's coming to you. But the guy with that nasty slider going away for you, righty on righty, you pick one and you roll the dice. And sometimes I've come home after four at bats going, wow, yeah, pretty good tonight. And some days I said, well, he just kind of was throwing the one I wasn't looking for, and you tip your cap. So that's what you have to do with those elite guys is you either get on a heater or you get on spin. And, that's what you got to do. You got a 3, 4, 5 guy in the rotation, you can kind of look location. But for me, with the top guys, you got to pick one or the other.
So obviously the Padres weren't facing a top guy. They were facing a young guy yesterday. But I wanted to ask you, Booney, about Fernando.
Rough spot.
Fernando Tatis Jr.'s approach. First at bat, and he said afterwards, I was hunting fastball, and I was going to swing pretty much out of my shoes and just hope that that's what I got. And he got that. How often would you go into an at bat going, all right, first pitch, I am just going to try to maul a ball, and if he makes a pitch and I'm fooled.
But quite often, and you're going to jump first pitch, you're going to ambush him. And you're going to hope you get a good fastball to hit. Now, I found as life went on, when I thought hit one over the fence, I wasn't very successful. But if I thought get a first pitch fastball and knock the dog, you know what, out of it, you can have some success that way. And sometimes it ended up in the seats. But I never thought about hitting a home run. I thought about getting a good pitch, getting this first pitch fastball to hit, and just knocking the crap out of it somewhere. So, yeah, I thought that was obviously it paid off for Fernando. The one thing I saw yesterday, and I watched all the games, the San Diego game really stood out as far as an elite team showing that they're elite early. And the crowd put that in. We've been talking about the Philadelphia crowd and how that's kind of the X factor for Philly to go along with a great team. That home field advantage they have. I'll tell you what, I was watching San Diego. That was rocking. I wasn't there, but it was rocking. And that team acted like all the hype that they're getting, and I'm hearing from not only myself but other analysts, it's well deserved. I mean, that was just ABC of how you win a game, the first state game at home, and kind of show them what kind of team you are. Two-run homer in the first was awesome. Added one on later. What's his name?
Higgy. Higashioka.
Higashioka adding a home run late in the game. But the performance you got from why am I?
King.
The performance you got from King yesterday was just great. And it was like, then you bring in Adam, who's nasty, and Suarez was Suarez we've seen. The Braves a little bit, they've been snake bitten all year. You know, they start off with their Cy Young Award winner and the MVP on the shelf for the entire season.
Crazy.
Then you lose Riley late in the season. Albies has been banged up. Then all of a sudden, an elimination game the other day, Sale has back problems, and he can't start opening day. So that Atlanta Braves team, without Sale at the top, they're a different ball club. And that showed yesterday. They had to have the spot start by the kid. He was in a rough spot. You got Freed tonight. He's going to be very formidable, but you got Musgrove. I love this Padre team. I love what I saw yesterday. And like I said, out of the four games, the Padres really stood out as the team that's getting a lot of hype, lived up to it yesterday. And I'm looking forward to tonight.
Me and you both, man, buzzing all morning for it, Booney. Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. And give me your couple minutes on Luis Arraez. I continue to be amazed by him. Does he take some goofy swings at some weird pitches sometimes? Yep, but he's got 200 hits, and that's really, really hard to do at that level. And what a perfect table setter he is for this team in this lineup.
he's been great in a generation, in an era where it's kind of not looked upon like it used to be average because so few people hit 300. He's kind of a, you know, he's kind of an anomaly right now. You know, he's a unicorn. But what he does is he sets the table for the rest of them. He's not going to strike out. He's going to foul off a lot of pitches. He's going to see a lot of pitches. And that is invaluable for the number two hole hitter, number three hole hitter, number four hole hitter watching, yeah. Setting the tone for how that game's going to be. And when he can wear a pitcher out in that first at-bat and throw seven pitches, everybody behind you, we're getting to see that. So that's a huge advantage. And then, you know, he gets 200 hits. I think he's been Tatis, Machado, the big guys, Jackson Merrill, what he's done this year. They're going to get a lot of the headlines. I'll tell you what, Luis Arraez at the top of that order. He's an old school guy. He's a Wade Boggs guy. He's a Tony Gwynn type guy. But I think he's been a huge factor for this team down the stretch and how good and why they're so good offensively. He's a huge part of it at the top.
Insider Calls presented by Granger. We're talking to Brett Boone here on 97.3 The Fan. And Booney, I want to ask you about Pete Rose. Of course, passed away right at the end of the baseball season here at the age of 83. As growing up in a baseball family, I've got to imagine that Pete Rose was always a bit of a topic of conversation, the way he played the game, but also the mistakes.